There's Warren getting us kicked off. 808 FM Talk 1065 Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Live local talk and your chance to chime in as well on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. Also, let's say good morning to our buddy from Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and a man who spent more time in the 67 counties of Alabama than anybody running for office. Don't listen to what they tell you. This man has canvassed the Yellowhammer State. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I got three counties left.
What do you have? What do you have?
Got Pickens County, you know, just from 82 beyond Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
I got Crenshaw County, just south of Montgomery.
Luverne.
Luverne. I got to make another trip to Bullitt County, Union Springs.
That's not bad. You got three. I have two of those three. Now, Pickens County, I'd suggest Aliceville Lake out there. It's very nice. You can go out to Aliceville Lake and pound it on the Tom Bigby River and then go to Luverne, downtown Luverne. And it's not Luverne. It's Luverne.
Luverne. Got to go to the Chicken Shack.
That's right.
Now, I have been to all these places. I just haven't been there on this
tour.
Over the last, I'd say going back to the 17th cycle, I've hit every county in Alabama at least once.
Yeah, get that, Richard Shelby.
You need to put together a radio guide of must-dos.
He's putting together a book.
because you have all this knowledge.
My list of must-dos would get people arrested, though.
I don't
want that. speaking of trouble out there, headlines this morning, Trump hell hour, Manafort guilty, Cohen I'm guilty, impeachment fears hit D.C. Now, Let's walk through what happened here yesterday with Manafort and Cohen and what this means for the president.
Well, it's not good. And anyone who tells you it's not, that it is good, that, you know, they try to spin it that way is just fooling themselves, I think. That being said, the Manafort stuff, I wouldn't try to read too much about that. I think if the Cohen news hadn't dropped yesterday, then we'd be talking about Manafort right now, obviously. But keep in mind, Manafort's got another trial coming up in a week in Washington, D.C., with the federal courts there. So that chapter's still being written. Now, the Cohen stuff is what we need to focus on. I think that's where it ties to Trump. I think that's where they can. But interestingly, it was referred by Mueller's probe to the Southern District of New York. But they got this list of charges on Cohen, the tax evasion, the banking fraud, and all these things. And down there at the very bottom is the campaign finance charge. That's what ties into Trump. I almost seems to me like they wanted that. That was the most important thing for the Southern District to get on Cohen and a plea deal. There's no telling what else they might have gotten if they had gone to court and tried him. But this is what ties into Trump, and this is what his legal team's got to deal with.
All right. So how does it – I mean, let's go back here. Let's start with the Manafort thing. And the argument would be made – I've talked about it before. We're talking about things that Manafort did well before, you know, he was involved in this campaign. So how is that tied to the president?
Right. So, and if you remember how Manafort kind of came to the campaign, now this is when Corey Lewandowski was the campaign manager, and they were having trouble with the delegate counts. They were afraid they were going to have a floor fight. There were people talking about that they were just going to hold their delegate vote for someone else or not vote for Trump or whatever. So they found Manafort to kind of be the guy to go out, and because he was successful in 76 for Reagan. He's been around that long. But he was the delegate guy then that made it really close between Reagan and Ford in the 76 Republican nomination fight. So knowing him having that kind of expertise, that's why they brought him along for 2016. And when Corey Lewandowski was ousted as campaign manager and step aside, it kind of fell into Manafort's lap, and that's how Manafort rose to the ranks of where he was in the Trump campaign. Now, that was kind of, he was more of a placeholder, though, for when they brought on Steve Bannon. And that, I think, you know, the ties to Trump there with Manafort aren't as, to me, aren't as strong as they are to Cohen.
Okay, so, and you remind folks, that's a good timeline, because I think people have forgotten that. Lewandowski in, Manafort, and then Bannon comes in and takes over. Now, the Cohen case is different, as you write to us in an email. Talk about that. You mentioned it a second ago. This is the president's personal attorney, right? Is that important, from your presidential attorney to your personal attorney?
Yeah, I think it's important just for this reason. If you're going to be associated with a guy like this, this isn't a guy that you like just kind of inherited or just kind of showed up, like in the case of Manafort. This guy has been your quote-unquote consigliere for many years, and I've worked for you for years. I know in the 16th cycle, and even going back at 15, Michael Cohen was a guy that was a surrogate for Trump. He was on all the TV shows, all the cable channels. He was a good surrogate, I thought, but he obviously, with his sort of shady connections and having a reputation for being a thug, I think that kind of kept him out of the administration. But that being said, he has a long history with Donald Trump, and that's going to be harder for Trump to say, well, he's not really a guy that I knew real well. And, you know, you are sort of the company you keep. So politically, I think this is a much bigger deal than the Manafort stuff.
Jeff, I know you're on the road, so you probably haven't been able to read this tweet this morning, but from the president, he says, if anyone is looking for a good lawyer, I would strongly suggest that you don't retain the services of Michael Cohen. That tweet going out 30 minutes ago. So if people were kind of murky as to whether or not that relationship is practically dissolved, I think that helps with the situation.
Yeah, and I think that's important. If you're Michael Cohen and you're thinking, well, all I need to do is just kind of go through the motions and then Trump's going to pardon me, you know, maybe that's not the best of signals you want to see if you think that you could get a presidential pardon and kind of clear your name. So, Trump still has the pardon card. Does he play it? Where does he play it? When does he play it? But for him to tweet that out, and if I'm Michael Cohen, think that I'm gaming for a pardon later on down the line, that's probably a bad sign.
But according to Lanny Davis, Cohen's lawyer, this morning, as of 8 a.m., he says that Cohen would not want to be pardoned by Trump. So these moments of time.
What?
I know, it's
a bunch of.
Lanny Davis is kind of one of these figures. He was a Clinton attorney. Mm-hmm. He's very, very, I would say he's media savvy, but he knows how to get on TV a lot. I believe tomorrow if Trump offered a pardon, they would accept it. They'd be a fool not to.
Tell you what, can you hold on, run to the break here? Because I want to ask more about the campaign finance plea and how all that works.
Yeah.
All right, coming right back. More with Jeff Poor from the road. He is heading back into Alabama. Go to Aliceville Lake, man. Kick it out there on the Tom Bigby, man. That's a Pickens County. That's good stuff. 8:16, we will be right back. FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings, online at fmtalk1065.com. You also stream us quite handily on your smartphone with the TuneIn Radio app. Take us anywhere you go, right there on your smartphone, as long as you're getting signal. I mean, if you're like in a bunker or something, it'd be an issue. But if you're outside the bunker, TuneIn Radio, that app works great. Also lets you, in a way, it pauses the audio. Call comes in, text comes in, something like that pauses the audio. You can pick it back up. Also, we've got our podcasts over there at TuneIn.
Yeah, you can get them on TuneIn. Also, Spotify. If you stream music on Spotify, you can get the FM Talk 106.5 podcast there now. Also, iTunes and Stitchers. Go ahead and subscribe, and they'll be delivered right to your phone.
All right, good stuff. Continue our conversation with Jeff Poor. And as part of this, I think we need to do two things. First of all, Kelly was talking about this during the news break. Let's go back to talk about the difference of why, you know, Manafort in D.C. and then Cohen, New York. What's going on there?
Well, in New York, well, what she was saying is that the jurisdiction is the Southern District of New York, and a lot of Trump's business was conducted in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan, and that's where Trump Tower is.
His businesses and foundations being registered there, because I think we regular people who are trying to keep up with the news cycle, it's confusing. Let's be real, it's confusing.
Well, there's a saying that pretty much the Southern District of New York goes in, anything that touches money, it has some tie to the Southern District of New York, because this is where Wall Street is, and it gives them a lot more power to go after, prosecute things than, say, the Southern District of Alabama, just because of those ties to Wall Street and the financial world, which, you know, has its tentacles on something everywhere. So they have very broad powers. They have very broad jurisdiction for that reason.
Okay, so help us here. So Cohen is pled guilty here for campaign finance violations. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay, what is, if he pleads guilty to that, that is, and I've seen it written this morning, that's in relation to the payments to Stormy Daniels and McDougal. Can you not, if you're running for office and you violate campaign finance, does it matter? I know it's overly simplistic, but this is the only way I understand it. What bank account it comes out of, is that important, or can you not give, what's the law?
Yeah, so we don't really have a lot of case law for this. They tried to go after John Edwards for it, but it didn't. They kind of failed at getting him on these similar sort of charges. So the difference is you have Michael Cohen that's willing to obviously willing to testify on this. So we don't really know how the Southern District of New York, you know, if they were to try this case, how they would, but they have a plea agreement. Now if they want to go after Trump, that's a different story. What I think is important is that this isn't a Mueller probe. This is distinctively the Southern District of New York. And do they let Mueller pick this up and run with this ball? Or how is this handled? Do they all of a sudden try to go after Trump on their own? I think there's a lot of questions. And they clearly have, like you said during the break, they have a probable cause now to look into Trump and campaign finance violations with regarding Stormy Daniels and all these things. I think that's just the avenue and not necessarily, you know, any kind of, it's not a precedent or anything when you reach a plea agreement because there's no case law.
President Trump just now tweeting again about both Manafort and Cohen. He said, "I feel very badly for Paul Manafort and his wonderful family. Justice, in quotations, justice took a 12-year-old tax case, among other things, applied tremendous pressure on him. And unlike Michael Cohen, he refused to break also in quotations, make up stories in order to get a deal also in quotations. Such respect for a brave man."
Yeah, so I think that's just what you need to know about the possibilities of a Manafort pardon, I think, down the line. The break there, the deal there, is it's two distinct messages.
But do you think the president showing his hand is something that you can really count on, or is it a tactic? I mean, obviously, all of these tweets are going to be archived, so we get to watch as these stories unfold and see what we think is how he feels, but at first blush, I mean, is that really something that you can put your money on, that Manafort would be even in the conversation of a pardon?
Well, I would just say this. I think you can go back and look at the Arpaio pardon and look at some of the way Trump was talking about that. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
What he's talking about, a miscarriage of justice or quote-unquote justice.
Joe
so
Arpaio.
To me, there is a track record here, at least, that we could go off of.
He is the former sheriff of Maricopa County in Arizona, Joe Arpaio, who was pardoned by the president.
Okay, so where does this go now? Because you said, obviously, you've said it a couple times here, this is not good news for the president. But you also wrote in an email to us, it doesn't feel like a death blow. It depends on how well the Dems weaponize it. Talk about that. How is this used here in the midterms? And then does this move? I mean, people, the headlines are out there. They've said impeachment. Does it go that far?
Yeah, so the Democrats have been really reluctant, or some Democrats, I would say the leadership, the Pelosi's and the Schumer's, have been reluctant to talk about impeachment. They don't think it's a winner. They think it could backfire on them with the moderate voters, but they also think it might galvanize Trump's base and make them even more formidable in the 2018 midterms. That's certainly a possibility. But it is a card they have out there. They could start playing it and they could start talking it up. What do they do? Well, if you're a Democrat today, the only one I have seen, Richard Blumenthal in Connecticut, he's not exactly a credible arbiter, I would say. But what do they do? How aggressive do they go with this? it seems, you know, that they had this weapon. Is it something they use? The time's ticking. We're into the late August, you know, part of this cycle. If you're going to go after Trump and you're going to start talking impeachment, you've got, what, the month of September and the month of October to really play that and get it in the news. What do they do? I think their move politically is going to be an interesting one to watch for that reason, because do they want to go too far with it? Is that where their pathway to taking back Congress is? Or do they have to keep playing the, you know, the way they are, just hope Trump self implodes or whatever, and that way they don't have to do all the heavy lifting? And is that good enough? Will that be good enough to get voters in the midterms to say, hey, Trump's just so bad, we need to think about this in a different way, or does it need to be served up to him on a platter?
What do you think other countries are saying about us right now as we watch this unfold in real time via tweet, via headline, via 24 news hour cycle? What do you think other countries are saying about the U.S. of A?
I read some foreign press reports. They just kind of laugh it off. They don't seem to think, especially the Russia stuff. Now, I don't know about this latest chapter of this saga, but they kind of laugh off the Russia stuff just because the way the United States kind of flexes its muscle around the world and does what's in its best interest, especially with a lot of, I wouldn't say that they necessarily, the United States meddles in elections, but they do sort of show who they support, and they do try to play a role in a lot of other countries. So what I've seen, they've kind of laughed off some of this, and well, it remains to be seen how they react to the Cohen and the Manafort stuff.
All right. Well, we will be watching, of course, and getting your interpretation of it. And you're going to join me today for the midday show, right?
Yes, I'm headed that way now.
All right. Very good. So Jeff's going to be part of the crew we bring out to Mobile Bay Coins today from noon to 2. If people want to reach out to you online, how do they do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
All right. Very good. Active discussion going on over on Twitter. By the way, too, I just retweeted the president's tweet with a disclaimer. So you may want to check that out when you go to my Twitter feed at FMTalk1065. The disclaimer there for the president as he talks about attorneys. You know, when you mention attorney, you have to say service is not better than any other.
Okay. Oh.
go read through. Also coming up in the second half of this hour, yesterday, Mobile City Council, they voted not to support the mayor's LOI, the deal with South, and you had a 4-3 vote. Remember, in this, it doesn't have to be a supermajority, right? So sometimes in the Zogby plan that sets up our form of government, some things have to be supermajorities, sometimes simple majorities. Simple majority ruled yesterday. And we'll get back. We'll get some of the audio from that. Listen, there was a lot of grandstanding by mm-hmm. the members of the council before they said how they were going to vote. They'd say, well, I'm here. Let me tell you some stuff. We'll get some of that. And also the response from the mayor, I thought, was important here as he responded to things that have been said during this debate, and also what he says going forward, what this means for LAD.
And also University of South Alabama put out their own statement following this entire deal yesterday after the mayor got up and spoke in front of the council following the vote. South Alabama later that afternoon put out their own statement, and we'll tell you what they said in that also.
All right. That's coming up. And the calls, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, remember, podcast available on our website, or you can go to, like we said earlier, TuneIn, but you can also go to Spotify, you can go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, get them one at a time, or subscribe. We'd rather you subscribe, but do whatever feels right.
Let's not forget about social media as well. We readily answer questions. We retweet. We've got lots of good knowledge for you.
Yeah, and soon Kelly's going to be Snapchatting.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not cool enough.
Yeah. 837 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Wednesday style. Sean Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, and of course y'all at 343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey and his crew getting junk gone in Mobile County, Baldwin County, at your house, at your office, around your house, up the sketchy ladder, stairs into the attic. You got junk, like a junk room instead of a junk drawer. Maybe you got plans. Maybe your New Year's resolution was to get organized. Well, well, time's running out here. So get that done, or maybe getting ready for the holidays coming up, having that extra room so you could actually have guests stay at your house. I'm not saying you, but maybe that could be apply to me. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You need to get with them, get that appointment time set, and get the junk gone. It's just as easy as going on their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They will set a specific appointment time on a specific day and be there. And also, the price they quote you, that's the price you pay whether the job turns out to be bigger than you thought it was or they thought it was. You still pay the same price. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, yesterday, Mobile City Council meeting, of course, went on. We kind of told the story in the 6 o'clock hour. What happened going into midday Mobile? It was about 11:50 yesterday. We're sitting in here and we're rolling, listening to the city council meeting, and there's a call for a roll call vote. And I said, "This is great." I said, "They'll do some, you know, talking or whatever. And about time we come into 12:05 into midday Mobile, they'll be taking the vote. We can run with that live." So I go to it right when we get into the show. It was 12:30 before they took the roll call vote because the members of the city council would go one by one, tell you all these stories and things, and then tell you how they might vote.
That's
or
called
not.
Like radio wishing right
yes,
there.
Yes, I bet, you know, I was back timing. I go, okay, this is going to be perfect. Hey, Dalton, this is going to hit just right.
Yeah, right. The actual vote lined up 4 no's, 3 yeses. The 4 council members to vote no, C.J. Small, Bess Rich, LaVon Manzi, and John Williams. The 3 yeses, Joel Daves, Fred Richardson, and Gina Gregory.
Yeah, let's go to some of that. So the first one to speak here yesterday on her no vote was Bess Rich.
The University of South Alabama is positive for our city of Mobile, but the partnership that was asked for, I believe, either needs to be retooled and or other resources gathered by the university that this city would not be part of. But a community stadium is also needed. And to what extremely take that is a whole nother issue and should be separated. And so I just cannot affirm this LOI. And so I just want to be perfectly transparent about that. And I know that I can never make everybody happy with my vote, because that's near to impossible. I will land on an equation that do not pleases or cannot please everybody, but I really am looking at the big picture and to being a good steward with our tax dollars, and that's a job that I take extremely seriously.
Okay. So there's a little bit of the political grandstanding. And by the way, too, another side note is that, and we'll get the mayor's response here, when the discussion of I-65 popped back up east and west of I-65, this Maginot line in the city of Mobile, that things are important east or west or where the funding goes. So from now on, a new rule with this show and my midday show, if you call in, and I don't care where you're calling in from, we will have to define whether you live east or west of I-65.
And what would that help?
Because, I mean, like Art Bell used to do in his overnight show, he'd say, east of the Rockies, west of the Rockies. So we'll now be east of 65, west of 65.
But your answer will remain the same, no matter where people are calling from. You're
right,
going to be the same OU.
Yeah, but I just still like to, yeah.
Just
like,
starting trouble.
Me? Nah. So, yes.
I was just going to say, and I know we're getting to the mayor's statement, but, you know, he did allude to the fact of the type of message that this sends to the NFL. I would love to know your thoughts on that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get into that. I want to talk, roll some audio here on yes votes. So back to back here, a couple of yes votes. Councilman Joel Daves talking about why this is a good deal, and Councilman Fred Richardson talking about why this is a good deal. This is what I think was missed out on. This is why we did the long-term, long-form interview with the mayor and others, trying to get this explanation here, because unfortunately, issues that are complex, people make quick decisions on them and without hearing the whole context. You can still not be for it, but it is a little more in-depth discussion. Here's Councilman Daves.
This started out as a measure to reduce the city's long-term expense in operating and maintaining LAD, while at the same time supporting one of the city's largest economic drivers, the University of South Alabama. I've been very upfront about my support for this proposal. For a net present value of about $5 million, a little less probably, the city gets a new $70 million stadium that its current bowl games and it, the city, can use rent-free, and that someone else, the University of South Alabama, will operate and maintain. LAD Peebles Stadium could be repurposed so as to be a fitting venue for the high school football teams, which are likely to be its most consistent users after the USA Stadium is built. The repurposing of LAD would also make it a more flexible venue, perhaps allowing it to be in use more frequently than in the past. I think it's important to point out that a person can be pro-LAD and pro this deal at the same time, as I am, because he or she feels that with USA intent on building their stadium, this proposal is in the best long-term interest of LAD.
All right, Councilman Fred Richardson spoke on it as well.
The mayor said I would commit to $2 million from the city. That's $4.5 million. He said I would commit to asking the county for $2 million, $6.5 million. And he said since there are four high schools that will be playing at LAD Stadium, I would go to the school board for $2 million. That's $8.5 million versus $7.5 million for USA. Otherwise, LAD up front, we could expect to receive $8.5 million toward LAD. If we vote this down, what LAD's going to get? Zero. That's what LAD would be getting.
All right, so kind of an explanation there of how $2.5 million becomes $8 million and why the idea that those that voted yes and why they believe that idea would work for both USA and for the city of Mobile. We'll get the mayor's comments here in just a little bit. Do want to go to the phone, and let's go to Sam in Mobile. Sam, are you east or west of
I-65? I am... I'm on the east side.
East side. Let's go to the east side of 65. It's Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, not to take away, but 105.5 just a little while ago had one of the city councils, I mean, one of the board members from South on there explaining everything while y'all were on a commercial break. I flipped back and forth. And he was saying what all South took out and everything, and they put out $75 million last year alone for, I want to say, insured or medical, something or another. And then it went to a commercial, and I was just catching it. And the guy on the radio, I forgot his name. You probably know him, but he goes, wow, that sounds like a city problem to me. And if they didn't have to put out, if they didn't put out $75 million for what the city probably should be doing, I guess out of the South Alabama's good heart, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back.
It maybe have to do with the hospital.
They put out a lot of money when that could have went towards the stadium. And he said, look, we don't want to borrow the money. We didn't want to borrow the money from anybody if we could have it, if we had it in our budget, but we just don't have it in the budget. But we're going to make it happen because the initial stadium plans was about $134 million, and they were like, no, we can't do that. So they backed it down to wherever it's at now. But what is it that South Alabama was putting out or puts out every year for the city?
Well, Sam, I could just
$75 million.
All right, Sam, I could just guess because I, you know, wasn't privy to that, but I could just guess, and it probably will have something to do with the hospital. But I mean, I could be wrong. I would guess maybe indigent care or what they do at USA at the hospital. That is my. That's my best guess. I'm not saying that's a fact. It's just...
Mm-hmm. And Southwest...
ciphering on it. Thanks for the call, Sam.
Yesterday, South put out their statement, and one of the things mentioned in there, USA's leadership is exploring all possible avenues of funding for the stadium, and we anticipate that we will continue to generate interest in the stadium among individuals and private organizations. We are committed to building an on-campus stadium.
Do you think they'll do a thing with a helmet like the firefighters do with a boot? They'll be there at the...
Yeah, I could see that.
And that statement was from South Alabama President, as well as the athletics director, Joel Erdman. So that's a joint statement that was addressed to the Jags fans.
All right, let's go to... Good, now we're getting this right. I already know. West of 65, David.
Hey, Sean, and you are correct. That $72 million or $75 million is for indigent care at the hospital that the state requires.
I still got it, don't I? I still got it, man. Good, good.
That the state requires them to do that because they are a government-funded hospital. But real quickly, I fervently believe that if the mayor did not hold his press conference last week, that we would have city funding for a USA stadium. And here's why I believe that. C.J. Small and LaVon Manzi yesterday in the meeting both basically said that they were working to come to some sort of agreement or understanding with the mayor to put out some sort of document to give them the political cover with their constituents, who they both said were greatly opposed to the funding for South Alabama Stadium, give them the political cover they needed to vote in favor of it.
So, okay, so, I mean, if you go through this, so they would have voted for something their constituents didn't want if they were given political cover, and we also kind of got the tenor yesterday that members of the council would vote no because they were upset with the way the mayor, not on the merits of the proposal, but they were upset with the way the mayor handled it.
Yes, yes, exactly, and it's like the, and I understand the mayor's frustration. You know, this has been going on for a couple of months now, and we needed, South Alabama needed an answer. But I just think the way he handled it last week is, the mayor's not completely blameless in this situation.
There we go, David. Appreciate the call from west of 65. Coming right back to the phones on east or west of 65. Just
what if you're bad with directions?
We'll have, Phillip's in there. He's like Magellan. He'll help you know where you stand. 850 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back. Right, 853 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Wednesday Sal. Once again, midday Mobile live at Mobile Bay Coins today starting at noon. We'll see you there. And Hal on the text line furthers the balkanization. Thank you, Hal. He said north or south of I-10 is more pertinent. So now we got east or west or 65 at north and south of I-10. That's how we're going to divvy ourselves up. So
is this the song Right Now, Baby, Right Now?
No, I can
you
play.
Know what I'm thinking
yeah,
of?
I can play you this. I can play you the whole song, okay. But not on the radio. We'll have to do that. Yeah, we'll have to do that during the news break. All right. So John is joining us next. He is west of 65. But John, you would be north of I-10 then as
north
well.
North of I-10.
Okay, just checking. So you are in the northwest quadrant. of this
right.
four square game.
I don't think it's possible to be south of I-10 and west of 65.
No, it would be. It was just an imaginary zone.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of like a goal line. It's an imaginary line all the way going all the way out to Cuba or whatever.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, I changed my mind on what I was going to say, but I wish somebody would dig up the votes for the Gulf Quest Museum by the geniuses on the city council. Anybody that voted for that should be disqualified from voting on anything.
That's a little bit of what was talked about yesterday. Is we have voted for projects like this for the city to get involved. That haven't turned out well. This one, that's why I had played Councilman Richardson's explanation and Joel Day's explanation. Once again, I'm not telling y'all what to think. I've just listened to those two men. They described the scenario that the mayor had described, how actually doing this, and I know it's a little harder to think about, but doing this actually saved the city money long term.
Right. And we're not going to be on the hook for 100% of this. And I say we, the taxpayers, because that's where the money's coming from.
Oh,
I know,
big time.
I know most of the people, a lot of the younger people don't understand where the city and the county and the country gets the revenues from. But, we're going to be pouring money into the Gulf Quest and into LAD and into all other city-owned facilities, the Civic Center, everything, for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to get that story up. I got to try to Google it again. Or when, Rob Holbert will be on with us tomorrow. And, Rob, if you're listening, if you can go dig that one up in the archives. Landyap did a great story years ago on the debt service the city of Mobile pays on the String of Pearls. Like, how much of the budget we don't even get to spend because we got to pay the, we got to pay the bills on those projects. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
The thing is, with South, it's the largest employer in the city, right? by a long shot.
Maybe with the hospital, yeah, that's it might be right.
And I'm just, I guess it made too much sense.
I don't know,
for South to build an on-campus stadium because of recruiting and all the other things with the NCAA, but we're going to keep pouring money into the rat hole that is Lead Stadium. I mean, they haven't, you know, when you go to the bowl games, and I've been to every one of the GMAC bowls or whatever it is now, when you go to that bowl game, I'm telling you, they put tents up for locker rooms because they're not big enough. Well, they were like that in 1978 when I played high school football there.
Well, and the question is, too, you know, I'd asked this question a couple weeks ago when Laura Byrne, Deputy Communications Director with the City of Mobile, was on. I said, if nothing is done, how much longer do we have at LAD? She told me, like, 3 years. So, I mean, this is the problem that if I'm to believe what I'm told, then in 3 years, we're going to be dealing with this, you know, again, and then it's going to be, you know, all hands on deck. It's going to be, so we'll see what happens between now and then. Appreciate the call. Thank you from the Northwest Quadrant of our new gerrymandered lines in the city. If y'all can't tell, that bothers me. Didn't get to the mayor's comments, but we'll put those up. I'll tell you what, we'll play them during the midday show today. Coming back at noon today, live from Mobile Bay Coins, Jersey Mike Subs will be feeding us. I'll have the new run of FM Talk 106.5 Huggers for you as well, so you need a cover for your Sody Pop or your Cool Pop or whatever you are drinking on. I've got it.
And Jeff Poore.
Yes, Jeff Poore will be there. And Killer Bees will join us at 1 o'clock.
He is so funny.
Yes. So I'm putting Killer Bees in the same place along with Angelo.
Watch out.
Yeah. 1 o'clock today. It'll be mayhem.